Today's sermon title, my friends, is They Also Serve Who Stand and Wait. By the way, how many poets do we have here? Poets? Anybody who likes poetry? Yes? How many had the opportunity to read poetry when they were in high school? How about in the university, college? Now, you might have at some point come across one of the more famous or most famous poets whose name was John Milton. Anybody? John Milton was a poet with a kindred spirit. This man grew up in a family which was pretty comfortable for him. He had a father who had success as a law writer. He studied Latin, this John Milton, Italian, as well as English, and later this same man became language secretary to Oliver Cromwell. Born in 1608, Milton traveled to Italy, France as a young man, and he actually got to meet Galileo Galilei in Florence. He had a lot of inspiration, let's say, and people looked to him. The vistas opened to him to very great connections, and people seemed to be reading his stuff, and it seemed like it opened boundless avenues to him. But Milton's life was forever changed. How many of you know the story of Milton's life? Milton lost his sight. This man lost his sight in 1651 at the early age of 43. I'm just 42. This man was just getting it all together. He was 43. He became blind. And he had written a lot of political stuff, a lot of religious stuff. And he had to turn inward to poetry for the latter part of his life. From this later period, Milton's epic work came across. Maybe you've heard about it. It was called Paradise Lost in 1667. And from this piece, a sonnet from this work was called On His Blindness. And I want to talk about that today. The sonnet is Milton's measured reflection. A measured reflection on the psychology of becoming blind. How many of you have had a friend or family that cannot see, are blind? He talks about in this sonnet about his struggles, of all of the sudden becoming blind after having all this great stuff happening to him and becoming famous. He struggles to find meaning in what was happening to him. And he asks God and what God expects of him now. He learns that God does not need human works. He learns that God's works proceeds because they are God's works. And the closing line is my title. They also serve who only stand and wait. Now, Milton could have simply just packed up all his efforts in doing anything with his life. He could have said, well, this is it. I can't see anymore. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up the purpose I have in life. But he didn't. Instead of doing that, instead of giving up, he did something different. He owned his blindness, and he used it as a new way of seeing, my friends. I did say he was blind, right? But he used this as a new way of seeing. In doing so, he became one of the greatest poets, the one who used to write about politics and just religion. This man became one of the greatest poets of all time. John Milton became a sort of role model to many people with physical challenges and others that maybe didn't have that kind of challenge, but had challenges. How many about around here have challenges? Anybody? It helped a lot of people. So he helped people to envision themselves. To envision themselves transcending. To envision themselves exceeding congenital abnormalities. And leading a creative and useful imaginative life. You know you can have an imaginative life, my friends. No matter what challenges you have. No matter what you might be going through. For this, so many are grateful of Milton's sonnets and his writing. They also serve who only stand and wait. And waiting is something that most of us have a hard time to do. How many impatient people do we have here? Do we? We are impatient sometimes. And if you look at today's lesson in the gospel, today's lessons from Acts concerns an adult who, like Milton, who, like John Milton, is stricken blind at the very height of his life, of his powers. His name was Saul of Tarsus, the one who later became Paul, Pablo. Somebody say Pablo. That's Paul in Spanish, okay? Pablo. We first meet Saul in Acts 8:1. And we see him at the execution of Stephen, however you want to say that one. Stephen the martyr. And then two verses later, we can see the same man functioning as the one who was like the chief of the thought. The chief of thought. He was out there trying to get all those people who called themselves Christians. He was out there on the lookout for all of them. And he was entering house after house, dragging off both men and women and committing them to prison. He was on a roll in his role of persecuting Christians. Saul is on the fast track of probably becoming the persecutor of the year. And all of a sudden, on his journey, until he goes all the way on his crusade to Damascus, that's where something happened to the life of Saul, Paul. Saul, as you can see, was not invincible after all. This man who had a reputation was not invincible after all. Whatever all the people might have thought about him, even with all his warrants that were signed by high priests empowering him to go and get people at their house, all those followers of Jesus, to extradite them to Jerusalem for trial, he suddenly is stopped blind in his tracks. All of the sudden, Paul has a confrontation with Jesus. A bright light, let's break this down. Somebody say, let's break it down. All of the sudden, Saul sees a light that blinds him. It flashes around him. And Saul hears a voice, the voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus asking Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then the voice tells him, get up. Get up and go to the city. And you will be told what to do. Now, some people don't like to be told what to do. Isn't that right? Amen? Somebody say amen. Saul had no alternative. Saul's companions had to lead him to Damascus, where he languishes for 3 days. 3 days without being able to see. Everybody close their eyes. It's nice to have your eyes closed when you're trying to think about something. It's nice to be able to meditate and all. And I know that some people have to live with this challenge for the rest of their lives. But imagine you're so used to being able to see everything around you that you were like that. With that challenge for 3 straight days. How would you get to work? How would your lifestyle have to change? What would you do? Open your eyes. As a matter of fact, he was there for 3 days, but not only was he blind for 3 days, he did no eating, no drinking, nothing for 3 days. Try to imagine Saul's frame of mind as he waits. And we all talked about how hard it gets for us to wait sometimes. Paul feeling helpless. Paul, the man of power, feeling helpless in Damascus. And back then in Damascus, there is no Braille system. There was nobody in the public works did any kind of special avenues and ways to get around for blind people. No, there were no LASIK surgeries back then either. He was stuck with his situation and he had to wait. Somebody say, wait. How can he possibly salvage his independence after this? How can he persecute people that he can't even see? As promised, this man had some help that came over to him. His name was Ananias. And this man was probably scared to death to even get close to Paul. Because Paul had this reputation of being a really bad man. How am I even going to approach this man? He wanted to get away from it also, but he was told by the Lord to do what he was told to. And he went there, and he was the first person who heard from the Lord that this man who had been persecuting so many Christians was in fact a man that would be used by God as an instrument. An instrument. But back then, he was blind. And back then, blind is blind. There's no way out of it. As promised, a disciple came by and gave him back his sight. And something happened to Paul that changed his life forever. See, Paul had to understand that there was something happening inside of him. And his transformation came from the inside out. And many of us have to understand that sometimes we are blind also. What are the ways that we are blind? When he received his sight, he was restored and transformed from a persecutor to a proclaimer. Saul's encounter with Jesus on the Damascus road becomes his credential to apostleship, because he was the only other person out of the outer circle of the disciples to be able to see the resurrected Jesus. So he had been through a very great experience. And we think about us today. What about us? Are we living so far and so removed from Jesus' risen form that we can't see what God wants us to see? What of us who have such difficulty acknowledging the faith that we profess? Some of us have difficulties with this. Do we even recognize our many forms of blindness? Do we? Perhaps in our preconceived ignorance and failure, we are actually performing some service to the Lord, maybe. Perhaps we are waiting patiently. I don't know if you are at this time waiting for an answered prayer. Maybe you are the one who is asking God, when are you going to answer my prayer? And God is only telling you, wait. And I know that that might just be the hardest thing you will ever do when you are desperate. But I know one thing. The Lord knows what's best for you. And he knows when the time is right for your blessing. I thank God for people like John Milton, that in his blindness, In waiting in his blindness, he received new eyes. He received new insight. He received a great vision to see and envision the cost and consequence of faith itself. I thank God for people like Saul of Tarsus, the one who was transformed into Paul, into a Christian, a lover of Christ, for doing as you were told, as he was told, remaining and waiting to see what the Lord had for him. And with this, my friends, I finish today. I thank all of you who at some point have showed me in your struggles, in your own challenges, that the last thing you lose is hope and faith. That you are not alone. That your time will come. That better times will come if you wait patiently in the hands of the Lord. And I see some people that are bursting to tears today, because it's not always about pastor being very eccentric with his sermons. It's about talking about simple things that we kind of miss sometimes. And the Lord is just telling us today, wait. 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 I'm here. I'm here. I'm going to take care of you like I have always done. Thank you, Milton John. Thank you, Paul, for the gift of transformation that catches us up short and help us, each and every one of us, in our own very small way, to be Christ's witness in the midst of whatever is happening around us. This is our faith, the faith that we practice under God's mercy.